I walk straight into the Luca's office, deputy commanding officer for CMO. And he just looked so surprised to see me. He said, Aaron, you're back. Like, yeah, didn't you know? Hey, what's with my security card? It's cancelled or something. You know, and he diverts the conversation. And I look on the desk and he's got all my files on the desk. And I missed a withhold on him. There's something in the files he doesn't want me to see. And he shoves the files to the left side. I can see that there's a piece of goldenrod there, but I don't know what it is. And then he pulls out this photo. It's the Polaroid that was taken from me on the ship, which meant that the person that was on that ship must have taken the Polaroid. It's not something you can send by email. It's a flash Polaroid photo, which meant someone else had brought back that photo as fast as I could get to Los Angeles. And alarm bells started ringing off in my head. I didn't get it. I didn't understand what was going on. Anyways, I then went back up to the International Clearances Office, because that's where we were working on the clearances for all the new income staff. And I was told up there, Aaron, you're being immediately cleared. Don't tell anybody you're being cleared. You're going to the Int base. You're going now. We've got to get your clearances done in 24 hours. I said, why? Why am I going there? He goes, you have to go. You have to go now. So you're not the HCO chief anymore. You're not on post anymore. Okay? You're going to Int. Oh, ooh, okay. Going to Int. Great. And that night, walking back to my berthing, my brain started to send alarm bells. Why was my security guard cancelled? Why was there no card? Who was that guy that followed me from the ship? Who was that guy on the Aruban Airlines flight? And alarm bells just went off and off and off. And I blew that morning. I took off. And the first phone call I made after a day being out, I wanted to speak to Luca Sacamano, because I knew they'd be looking for me. And I called into the Hollywood Guarantee building on the main line number. And when I got to reception, the receptionist said, oh, sir, are you calling from Europe? I went, no. She goes, oh, you're not in Europe on mission? No, I'm here in Los Angeles. Can I please speak with the deputy CO, CMO, please? What the hell's going on? Okay, I hung up the phone. I then called up, we had a travel company that did all the flights for all our missions and stuff, so I called them up, and I had a security code, which hadn't been cancelled yet. And I booked the first class ticket back to New Zealand from LAX. And I booked it to leave in 2 hours, and I got it. Maybe 3 or 4 hours, actually, to be more accurate. And I didn't have any intention of going on the flight. I just went to the LA terminals. I waited across the road because I wanted to find out how many people that they would send out after me. And I was shocked. A van pulled up, and Jeff Porter, Sue Porter, and CMO staff, and a lot of OSA staff jumped out of the van, I'm talking 9 people, and came running into the LA terminal after me. And Jesus Christ, they really wanted me not to go on that flight. But I knew I couldn't run away from them forever, I'd have to go back. So I went running around Los Angeles, called up my mum in New Zealand, and she told me they'd called there looking for me. And I called back into the building, spoke to Luke, and he said, if you don't come in right now, we're sending 20 people off to Australia, you're sending people off to New Zealand to talk to your family, we're going to find you. And I told them to call it off, I'll come in. I came back in, and what happened between March 1995 and the end of my career with the Sea Org in January 1996 is just the most insulting story of paranoia and control you'd ever imagine. And I'll go into it another time. But I wanted to keep this about the INCOM mission and the facts of the matter there. We are talking about the greatest violations of human rights that all all those INCOM staff members around the world suffered. And if you want to talk about false imprisonment and blackmail, go find the INCOM staff that were hassled and harassed in February 1995 and find out what happened to them. Their stories are all true. As unbelievable as they may sound, I was there and I helped with this. There's nothing fictitious about it. This happened right in the heart of Los Angeles, first class country where human rights are celebrated and appreciated, and right there in East Hollywood, just off of Hollywood Boulevard, these guys were trapped and contained for some periods that exceeded more than a month. And there's no justification for it. There is just nothing you could imagine to tell you the horror those staff went through, because they were bullied and controlled for, I think some of them thought they were going to die. Some of them wanted to kill themselves. It came up in their security checks, they wanted to end their lives because of the punishment that they received for even allowing a fellow INCOM staff member to cause a breach was now their fault, and they were all punished severely for it. And I want the governor of Los Angeles to launch an inquiry and get the affidavits and statements from not just the sealed victims on that case, but from the people like Liz Ingber, the Bolstads of this world, Deputy Senior CS International, and the RTC security staff that did that horrific sex checking on all those people and just absolutely screwed with their minds. And I think everybody wants to see that too. It's not just me. But you want a specific example of the greatest human rights violation in the SEAL that ever happened? There's your date, there's your time. And I wish I could give you the names of the INCOM staff members. But you know what? They've already spoken out on the internet and nobody believes them, but it's all true.